Read some scripture again taken from the book of Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 22 has been pressing upon my heart and my mind for quite some time, and I want us to look again into this passage. Last week I tried to illustrate the drawing near. Let us draw near. How that he says that three times. Draw near with faith, and draw near to holiness with hope, and draw near with love. How that we can enter into the very presence of God when we draw near to God. And so I'm going to read these passages once again as he speaks about this new and living way that has been consecrated for us by our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us draw near with a true heart, this is verse 22 of Hebrews chapter 10, in full assurance of faith, having your hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and your bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast our profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. This morning I want to address the aspect of full assurance of faith. There are many challenges concerning uncertainty. I've dealt with a lot of people who went through uncertainty about whether or not they were saved. And as I look into this passage, it tells us that we really can't approach God like we should approach God unless we have a full assurance of faith. John wrote the same thing in the fourth chapter of 1 John about having a degree of confidence that our petitions and our prayers would be answered. There has to be a confidence, a full assurance of faith. Last week I tried to talk about the description of faith. I tried to talk about how faith works. I talked about the development of faith and the implementing of faith in our life. And until we have a full assurance of faith, we're going to have difficulty in serving God. Now, through the years, I know that there's been people that have struggled with doubt. Some of you I have counseled concerning doubt of whether or not you were saved. And when somebody's struggling with whether or not they're saved, that's a very difficult thing to have to deal with. That's a very critical position to be in. That's a hard place to not know whether or not you're really saved. And many times I have sat down with individuals and I've tried to give them the biblical evidence regarding full assurance. And I think we should, when we're addressing the area of something so critical, a spiritual area concerning eternal life or eternal damnation, we need to give biblical full assurance. And so typically I go to the Word of God and I make sure that they understand what repentance is and what faith is, because the first aspect of true full assurance of faith is an intellectual. You have to know how to be saved. You have to know that you've trusted Jesus for salvation, that you're not trusting in works, because if you're trusting in works to save you, you're lost. You can't have full assurance of faith until you have a work of grace, and you have to understand that salvation is by grace through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. So typically when I'm talking to somebody who's dealing with uncertainty or doubt concerning whether or not they're saved, I start by making sure they understand clearly the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then I start going through a person's life and I start asking them about whether or not they've had a not just a cognitive understanding of the gospel, but also a subjective understanding of the gospel. There has to be a time in your life where God lets you know that you're saved. And so we go into an examination of that to see if there's a time and a place where they did repent and they've put faith in Jesus Christ. And through that act of faith, they experienced regeneration. But there's another area too that I also bring into focus. I bring into focus an objective aspect because I think all three of these are what the Hebrew writer was talking about when he was talking about a full assurance of faith. I also talk about a life, a behavioral assurance where God has worked in your life. Where there's love that's being manifested in your life, where there's a hope, an expectation, where that you serve God because you love God. Amen. God's love's been shed abroad in your heart, and you want to work and labor for God. And so I ask a person who's dealing with these challenges of uncertainty of whether or not they're saved, I ask them, is there something in you? Something driving you to serve God? That's not from the outside, but started on the inside. Amen. Amen. And that's a critical aspect of the full assurance of faith. And, you know, I remember I was discussing that with one particular individual, and still as Missionary Baptists, even after we've done all of that explaining, and we've done all of that investigating, and we were trying to deal with all of those areas of a person's life, the bottom line still, for full assurance, absolute assurance, you got to get a word from the Lord. I remember I was talking to one individual about all that. He said, you know, preacher, that gives me a great deal of consolation. He said, but, you know, bottom line, I still need something. And I said, well, you can get something. We still, through all of that, we'll tell an individual, the only way to truly know that you're saved is for God to let you know. It's like what David said in Psalms 35 and 3. He was dealing with a lot of issues in his life, but he made a plea, a prayer in Psalms 35 and 3, and he said, Lord, tell me, say it in my soul, say it in my spirit that you are my salvation. And I'm glad God does that for us. There's people that struggle with uncertainty, and they understand the Word of God. They had a time in their life, but they're not sure if that time in their life was the right time in their life where they really got saved, and they've had some moral or spiritual evidence or fruit that they're saved, but they still needed God to speak in their soul and let them know for sure that they had been saved by the grace of God. And listen, my friend, that's how we advise people who are dealing with the challenges of uncertainty on whether or not they're saved. My counsel unto you is not good enough. The counsel from another isn't good enough. You need, like David said in Psalms 35 and 3, speak in my soul. Let me know for sure that you are my salvation. I tell you something, Jesus made it clear. You look in John chapter 10 and verse 27, he said, my sheep, they hear my voice. Yes, they hear my voice. And he said, I know them, and they follow me. The ultimate certainty, of course, is God speaking to us and giving us that assurance. One man said one time, he said, faith is necessary to be a Christian, but he said assurance is necessary for the well-being. You got to have that assurance, that confidence that we can enter into the presence of God. Each of us need that full assurance of faith. Is it really possible? Is it possible for us to have a full assurance of faith? To really know that we're saved. To really know that you're on your way to heaven. The Bible says yes. Yes, 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 it is possible for you to know a surety, for an assurity that you're on your way to heaven. Amen. Yes. The Bible teaches assurance is possible. I'll give you just a couple of verses, and I could give you many, but 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10, it tells us to be diligent, to seek, to know. It tells us to know and be sure of God's calling and His choosing upon our life. Give diligence to know that your calling and your election is sure. Know that in your own heart and your life. We cannot have the full assurance of faith to enter into the presence of God till we know. No wonder the church doesn't have power like it should have power, because we've got a lot of people that are just dealing with uncertainty. They have an insufficient, haphazard type of faith. And that's a problem. A serious problem for the church and serious problem for Christianity. We are to have a full assurance of faith, and we're to be diligent to make our calling and election sure. Assurance is not only possible, it's commanded. It's commanded. You, God's holy word commands you to know. To know in your own heart and know in your own life that you are saved. And not only is it a commandment, but it's a privilege. Yes, it is. It's a wonderful birthright of every Christian to know that you're a child of God. Birthright to have full assurance that you're on your way to heaven. John wrote in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, he said, "These things I write unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you might know." That you might know that you have eternal life. Amen. John the apostle in 1 John chapter 5 verse 13. He said, "I'm writing this epistle by divine inspiration, empowered by the Holy Ghost. I'm writing it, my purpose in writing it is that you would know." That you have. That you know that you have. Eternal life. The Bible not only commands it, the Bible not only says it's possible, but the Bible says it's a wonderful privilege to know. He went on and he said this. He says, "And in that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God, and that this is the confidence." Look in verse 14 of the fifth chapter of 1 John. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything, see, when we have this confidence, this privilege of knowing that we are the children of God, that we're the elect of God, that we're the chosen of God, we can have this confidence to go into the very throne room of God and make our petitions known. Notice what he says, the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything concerning His will. I was praying yesterday morning, and I probably had, I don't know the number of people that their faces went through my mind that I have come in contact through, contact with through the years. I went back to my childhood days, my teenage years, and went back to when I used to work at IGW, and when I was in New York, and when I was in Florida, and all these different people that I'd preached to, and all those people in Indiana that I dealt with when I worked at Hamlin Gage, and when I was in Memphis, all the people I came in contact with, all of my neighbors and friends, and people that I'd talked to, and all the people I'd preached to through the years, the various revivals that sat in congregations, and all these faces just kept going through my mind, through my mind, through my mind, through my mind, and my heart. And I was saying, "God, touch them. God, work in their lives. God, save them if they're lost. God, help them if they are saved. Give them grace." And they were just, you know, it was just flooding my mind and my heart. And it's like the Holy Ghost just said to me, and you know the Holy Ghost helps us when we pray. And I'm like, you know, something needs to be done right now. Right now. And I was like, "God, stir them right now. All those people. Bring to the remembrance something that happened. You know, touch them. Work in their lives right now. Right now." I'll tell you, if we ask anything that's according to his will, he can do it. You know something? It was just like it happened. Just like I prayed it. It's like before I even got the words out, it happened. I just knew it in my heart and felt in my heart that it happened. I tell you, it's a blessed assurance. No, you're saved. Yeah, that you're working and laboring for God. A person who doesn't have assurance about salvation, they're in the worst kind of misery. They really are. And you know, having this assurance, it's a foretaste of heaven. Yeah. You know, Fanny Crosby's blessed assurance, Jesus mine, oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I'm telling you, it's a taste of heaven to know that you're saved. And it's a taste of hell to think that you're not. Amen. See, I want people to have a full assurance of faith. That's important to me in my ministry. I believe that's important to us here at Victory Church. Amen. That's important to our church. To have that confidence. You know, in the contemporary Christian realm today, the religious world today, the whole subject of assurance is totally neglected. It's very often ignored. They don't even talk about people being assured that they're saved. It's especially ignored by people who assume that if you pray a prayer or walk an aisle or sign a card that you're okay, or if you just go forward and get baptized, you know, they never question. They don't even want people questioning whether or not they're saved. They basically will tell them, well, you did what you were supposed to do, so you're all right. They have a decisional regeneration or a baptismal regeneration. They never talk about assurance. Amen. They don't. The contemporary Christian world no longer talks about assurance, in spite of the fact that the Bible not only speaks of it and commands it and tells us we need it and tells us it's a great privilege, and yet the Christian world today never even talks about it. Secondly, it's also ignored by people who claim that you can lose your salvation. Actually, they'd just rather keep people really nervous about it. You know, they say, well, you just can't be sure, so you better work a little harder and, you know, give a little more and you know, be a better person, and because you really don't know if you're going to go to heaven or not. They live in a perpetual state of fear. They never have a full assurance of faith. Now, I believe that we ought to examine ourselves. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and 5, the Bible tells us to examine yourself, whether you're in the faith, and you can go through an examination, and you can know and have a full assurance of faith. Now, let me get a little theological on you. Hold on. I understand about trusting Jesus. And I understand the teaching of justification, how that it's a forensic and positional act of God. But when it comes to trusting Jesus, when it comes to the act of faith, it's something that you experience. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When you trust in Jesus, when you come to Him, when you look to Him in faith, repenting of your sins and putting your confidence in what He did in the finished work at Calvary, it's something that you do, something that you experience. You repent of your sins. You reach out in faith. You embrace the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's something that you experience. Faith is something that you must experience. Now, there's a mental aspect to it, as well as an emotional aspect to it. Then there's the actual act of doing it. What is it that ignites our faith? Faith cometh by, I read this last week, hearing. Hearing what? The Word of God. The Bible ignites that whole experience of faith. It does. And the Bible says this. Let me tell you how the Bible ignites that experience of faith. And there is some intellectual assurance that's given to us in the Bible. I'm afraid sometimes we go to extremes. We have a tendency to do that. All religious groups have through the years. You study history, and the church has had tendencies of going to extremes from Arminianism to Calvinism, back and forth. And we have a tendency to go to extremes about stuff, especially when we're combating some kind of heresy. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Jesus said, come unto me, and I will in no wise cast you out. The Bible says, call on the name of the Lord, and whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but they will have everlasting life. So, the Bible says if you believe in him, you'll be saved. Amen? You see how the Bible, the scriptures, ignite the experience of faith? The Bible says that when you believe in him with all of your heart, you'll experience everlasting life. And that's the reason you believe in him. So you can have everlasting life, don't you? You put your faith in him. You trust in him that you might have everlasting life. But what the Bible provides is a very limited aspect of true faith, of full assurance of faith. That assurance that we have in the act of faith, it does come from the promise of Scripture, doesn't it? That's the promise of the gospel. And that's a sort of cognitive assurance. It's an intellectual, it's a rational experience. And people, let's not step away from that. We need that. Amen. That's one important aspect of full assurance, an intellectual aspect of it. You know, one time I went to this person. They were on a ventilator. They were doped up. And I stood there preaching to somebody who was just mentally gone. Just hoping they could hear something. Hoping that they could grasp something about being saved. I did that. You guys know what I'm talking about? I was trying to, I knew that if they couldn't comprehend intellectually, they would never have it. Listen, friends, there is an intellectual aspect of faith. It's not all spiritual and emotional. Amen. There is a cognitive assurance of salvation. I have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. I have repented my sins. I've been born from above. I'm a child of God. You know how I know that? Because the Bible tells me I'm a child of God. It tells me of my inheritance, that I'm on my way to heaven, and I can't lose my salvation. You know how we have full assurance of salvation and that we can't lose our salvation? We're assured that in the Word of God. There's times you don't feel saved. Oh, come on. You get some, let some sin in your life and see what happens. Yeah, but I read in the Word of God that I'll be chastened. I've experienced that, amen? And then I'm a child, and not an illegitimate child, but I'm a true child of God because I've experienced what the Bible has declared to me, and I receive assurance from that. There is a biblical intellectual assurance regarding eternal life and salvation, but it's very limited, and it's not full assurance. There needs to be more. There's two other elements and aspects of it. It's an imperfect assurance to only have the assurance that comes out of the Bible. My name is not in the Bible. And if Tim Binion was in the Bible, if my name was written in the Bible and it says Tim Binion is saved, it could be another Tim Binion, right, Brother Vanderpool? Yeah, maybe that guy, that Tim Binion that's in Alabama in jail. Don't Google yourself, that's scary. You know? They mean he's saved, not me. Our names aren't in the Bible. Your name has to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. All right? You can know it's up there. Written down in heaven. See, that's why when you like read in Mark 9 and 24, when it talks about the man who came to Jesus and said, I believe, but help my unbelief. That's why we read like the apostles in Luke 17 and 5, they said, increase our faith, because that intellectual part is not enough. It's not enough. It's not enough. We need more. The Bible talks about, and I've got other passages, Hebrews 6 and 11, where it talks about a full assurance of faith with respect to fruits. It talks about in Colossians 2 and 2. I don't have time to get into all those. But if we will draw near to God with a full assurance of faith, great things can happen. And how do we get that full assurance of faith? Well, we have to have the other two elements, the other two aspects of faith. We have not only a cognitive, intellectual, rational. I think it's rational. It makes sense to be saved. And when you look at the world, I mean, you could actually take an intellectual, rational approach to the whole plan of redemption. And it makes plenty of sense to me. When you look at the evils of the world, we need redemption. Amen. We need deliverance. We need salvation. People are broken and they need to be fixed. And it's only through the blood of Jesus that they can be fixed. Our sins are so disgusting and awful. In order to go to the presence of a holy God, we need salvation. Amen. But you need more than just an intellectual aspect to salvation, an intellectual aspect to faith. The full assurance of faith, the second one is a subjective. You got to have a work of the Holy Ghost inside of you. You have to have a witness of the Holy Spirit, a witness of the Holy Spirit. And then there's a third aspect to it, and that's the objective. The cognitive, the subjective, and the objective. A behavioral assurance that comes because we see how we live our lives. You know, I have assurance that I'm saved because I couldn't love some of you people if I wasn't saved. I'm just being honest, okay? Just couldn't do it. There must be something in me that lets me do that. Right? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Yeah. And so there's that third aspect that gives us assurance. See, it starts in the mind. It moves to the emotional senses. And then it goes through our life. There are all three of these components contribute to a full assurance of faith. A biblical, which is written by the Holy Ghost. A spiritual, which is what you obtain by the Holy Ghost. Right? And also a sainthood, which I think we can't live that without a presence of the Holy Ghost. You know, the contemporary evangelism, they only offer the intellectual. They don't offer the spiritual. You guys do realize that, don't you? They only talk about the intellectual aspects of faith. They say, well, I prayed a prayer. I did this thing. I did what the Bible says, so I must be okay. So that's that. But listen, you cannot bank on that cognitive assurance based upon the Scriptures if you don't have a spiritual affirmation of the promise. You must have a subjective work of the Spirit of God in your life. And I still contend you must also have the third component in order to have a full assurance of faith. You got to have a change in attitude and in perspective. You have to have the laws of God that we read about in the earlier part of this 10th chapter written on your heart where you instinctively want to obey God. Amen. You look back in 1 John where he talks about the sanctification aspect of it. I'll just turn to read it for you. He says, you know, we know that we're children of God. How do we know, John? Well, we know because we look in 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. Thereby we do know that we know him. We know that we know him. We know that we have fellowship with him. We know that we're saved. We have a full assurance. How, John, do you have a full assurance? Well, just because I had a time and place? No, there's more to it than that. Listen, this is critical. This is very important. If we don't maintain a blend of all three elements and all three aspects of faith in the missionary Baptist cause, we're going to lose the faith. Amen. How do you know that you know? Look at it in the Bible. He said, if we keep his commandments. Amen. Yeah. So I still contend there's that sanctification aspect of assurance that's embedded in faith. We must maintain this equality, this blend. All three have to be present in order for us to have full assurance. Now, I need to make this point, and I'm going to try to close here in just a moment. But I see us going adrift a little bit. When you look at history, you can find like where people have went to extremes. You know, the Presbyterians. Okay, they put all this emphasis on creeds, on the Westminster Confession of Faith. They put all this emphasis on Scripture, and they departed from the Holy Ghost work in faith. All their faith was embedded in documents, in the law, the letter of the law. And then you had the Puritans that came along, and they just beat everybody down and said, if you had any kind of sinful thought in your life, well, you must be lost. You know, any kind of sinful thought whatsoever in your heart and your mind, you must be lost. And they kept everybody beat down. The Puritans did. And all they put emphasis upon was living a holy life. That was the evidence of the faith. The Presbyterians, the evidence of the faith was the Scriptures. The Puritans, the evidence of the faith was the holy life. And they both went to extremes. One missing the Holy Ghost, the other missing the other aspects of the Christian faith. Listen, we've got to get back to a balance. Because when we go to these extremes, we get off balance. Anytime we elevate one of the assurances above the other, it gets us off balance. What are you talking about, preacher? Well, I'm going to have to get really plain. I see that right now because you guys are looking at me in a strange way. Let's go to Corinthians chapter 14, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And I've got to hurry. Paul was writing to the church at Corinth. They had chaos. They had emotion. They had spirituality of faith. But they were losing some of these other areas. Okay, especially control. Do you guys realize the 14th chapter of Corinthians was written about a worship service? That's right. The Corinthian church was out of control. They were getting up and they were speaking in tongues and there was chaos in their worship service. And he said, this is what Paul said. He said, if somebody comes in that's unsaved, they're going to think you're mad. Now, I'll tell you what missionary Baptists do today. They say, well, that's okay. We want everybody to think that we're stupid and mad. No, we don't. Paul said, when people come in unlearned and lost, if you act that way in a worship service, they'll think you're mad. Amen. Stop it. Actually, he told the women to sit down and shut up. He told those that were getting up claiming that they were spiritual, he said, the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. Get yourself under control. He said, everything in the house of God ought to be done decently and in order. Amen. Man, we need a new lesson from the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians, don't we? You guys, I've got a tape of F.L. Ray. He taught on this passage. on this particular tape. I'd like to let some of you listen to this sometime. Actually, he said that he was afraid that all praying at one time might even cause some confusion to lost people that come in among us. Listen, when we preach and teach the gospel, we need to give a certain sound.
Amen.
All right, I've got to move on because I want to close. And I've got two more pages of notes. I'm really just starting. But we need all three for full assurance of faith. We really do. We need to be very careful that we don't turn conviction into a subjective requirement that overrides all the clear proclamations of the gospel found in the Bible. I'm a little worried about this qualifier. Never in the Bible does it say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ if you get glory bumps. It says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. We're hearing a lot of this, prerequisite requirements that aren't in the Word of God that I think is taken away from the full assurance of faith. Now, understand conviction. People, and I understand the drawing of the Spirit.
Amen.
I do. And I understand what Jesus said. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. I believe what Jesus, I'll tell you what I believe. You hold on. You may disbelieve this. You feel free to do it. But I believe when the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached, every sinner in the house is drawn to him. Because the Word of God tells us that the Holy Ghost was sent to accompany the gospel, that the Holy Ghost is in the world and it always accompanies the Word of God, reproving men of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come.
Amen.
Listen, you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart, then you get glory bumps. You don't get glory bumps before you believe. You see where we're taking the subjective? And then we're rising it above the cognitive, the rational, the intellectual part. We're telling people, ignore what you're hearing, what you're thinking. Ignore the fact that the preacher is warning you that you're on your way to hell. Unless you get goosebumps, you stay in your seat and don't come to the altar. I don't preach that kind of gospel.
Amen.
You've never heard that here, and you've never heard me preach that. I'll tell you what I preach. You better repent of your sins or you're going to perish.
Amen.
With or without the goosebumps.
Amen.
Amen. That's the way Jesus preached. That's the way John the Baptist preached. That's the way Peter preached. I'll tell you something, people. You repent of your sins or you perish.
Amen.
I understand drawing of the Holy Spirit. I understand all that. I really do. I really do. But my belief is that he does draw. He is drawing, amen? Yes, he's working in sinners' hearts and lives. Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to close. I got more, but I probably could preach 2 hours this morning. I want to at least close with just revisiting, just temporarily, momentarily. The work of the Holy Spirit in your heart. And I'm going to close. I'm going to look at just a few verses here about this subjective. I do believe the subjective part of it is being left out in a lot of religious circles. And we've got to keep it in there. Okay, but let's not keep it in there at the sacrifice of the other elements of faith. Right? Let's not. You know, I mean, I tell you, I've seen a lot of people, they're saying, well, as long as they've got a time and place, they can live like the devil. No.
Amen.
No. No, people need a full assurance of faith. All three aspects.
confidence in the Word of God, the move of the Holy Spirit and the testimony and the witness that comes from God. You have to have a witness in yourself, amen, that you're saved. And we know that. But then also there has to be a change in your life. If you get changed to live like the devil, you didn't get the Spirit of God in you.
Amen.
No, no. When you get changed, when you get saved, you want to live for the Lord. Amen. I tell you, there's something in me. There's something in me that's from God that motivates me, that drives me to serve the Lord. I want to serve the Lord. You guys know what I'm talking about? That came in me when I believed. It did. And in the Roman letter, and I don't have my glasses. I don't know if I can read it without my glasses, but in the 8th chapter, he talks about these things. He talks about the Holy Spirit. In verse 14, he says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. Yes, that's what I was just talking about. There's something that's driving me, that's leading me, that's inspiring me. He also not only talks about a leading, he talks about a calling in this passage. Notice verse 15, if you will, from the 8th chapter of Romans. And I'm closing. He says, ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry. Yes, we cry out. We call out to God as Father. We know we have this assurance by the Holy Ghost in our hearts that we are the children of God. And look at this last one here in this verse. Look at verse 17, and he says, if we are children. Now let's look at verse 16. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Listen, my friend, the Word of God says if you'll repent of your sins, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart, you'll be saved. The Holy Spirit will come into your heart when you get saved. And when you get saved, you'll live for the Lord. And when you have all three of those components, you have a full assurance of faith. Do you have that this morning? Do you have a full assurance of faith founded on the Word of God, implanted by the Holy Ghost, and empowered that motivates you to live the Christian life? As we stand and sing a verse or some song, I'm going to call upon you and ask you today, if you don't have it, to get it. Get a full assurance of faith, and you can draw near to God and live your life for God. Yes, you can come in the very presence of the Holy God with a full assurance of faith. Let me close in saying, nobody ever comes into the presence of God without a full assurance of faith. One founded on the Word of God, one implanted in your heart by the Holy Ghost, and one that changes your life. I still believe that when you get saved, you become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away, and behold, everything's new, right? Amen? So as we stand and sing a verse, some song, come. Get the real faith that's found in God's holy word, a full assurance according to truth.
Page 61, this song's been praised.
Is there anybody here, you're uncertain about where you stand with God? I invite you to seek Him and pray. Let me pray with you. But you need to pray for yourself. Anybody here dealing with the challenges of uncertainty? I'll tell you why there's uncertainty, because you don't have a full assurance of faith. All three components need to be there. It will eliminate doubt. It will eliminate doubt. Amen? It will. Let's sing. There's somebody here today. Somebody here today. Have you done what the Bible says you must do to be saved? Do you have all that the Scriptures say you must have to be a Christian? Have you actually and experimentally experience that in your heart and life? And did that change you? Did that change your life? How is it with your soul today? God bless you. I wonder if there's something on somebody's heart. I'm glad I've got a full assurance of faith. Amen. All that stuff the Bible says that I've got to do and I would experience, I did, and I experienced it. All right. That gives me consolation of mind. The Bible says I've got to do that, and I've done that. But also I have a witness of the Holy Ghost that lets me know that that's been done. And I've got something in me that enables me to live the Christian life and motivates me to do so. And that also gives me assurance. A full, let us, let's come to God with a full assurance of faith. Boy, if the church today would just come to worship God with a full, if everybody that came to worship had a full assurance of faith, came to serve God with that full assurance of faith, do you guys realize what kind of power we would have and favor we would have with God? How our prayers would be answered? Wow. We need that. I want to say this to those of you that might be wrestling with any kind of uncertainty about whether you're saved. Nail that thing down. Amen? There's only one thing worse than being lost. And that's being confused. Devil's got you right where he wants you. You know? He does. You think you might be saved, so you don't seek the Lord and get saved. You know? And if you are saved, then you don't do anything because you are saved. I mean, the devil's got you right where he wants you. In limbo. You know? And that's a miserable place. And you need to get out of that place. You need to nail that thing down. Right? To have a full assurance of faith. I want us to sing another song. And while we do this, I want us to get on the altar, and we're going to close the service today with an altar prayer. And if you're here questioning your salvation, God will let you know. Amen? He can let you know today. He can. You can receive. You know, there's been people that were challenging it or doubting it, and they thought they might have been at some particular point in their life, and they weren't sure if that was exactly it. You know, you can get confirmation today that it happened to you back then.
Amen.
Can't you? Yeah. 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 And then we encourage people to do that, don't we? You know, people, you know, have sat down. I remember one time somebody sat down with me back there, and they said, they gave me this wonderful experience of being saved, you know, while they were in college, they were beside of their couch, and I mean, they were repenting, and they were torn up, and they had, you know, walked the aisle in the past and been baptized, but she said, you know, do you think that's where I got saved? I said, I don't know. I mean, you know, it sounds like you did everything the Bible says you're supposed to do, but only the Lord can let you know for sure that that was it. Amen? I can't tell you that was it, but God can. Praise God. And when you can get that assurance from Him, that's a full assurance. A word from the Lord. I'm confident that was it. The Lord told me that was it back there. I mean, I'm settled on that. And He can give you those kind of Ebenezers in your life. And if you need one of those, you can get it today. So as we sing, I want us to come on the altar. Let's enter into this revival with a full assurance of faith. We're the children of God, amen? We're the church of Jesus Christ. We're the church of the living God. We're victorious. There's nothing that we can't overcome by the grace of God and by the power of Jesus Christ. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, amen? We can do it. We can do it. We're the church. Man, we need to get back to that kind of confidence instead of walking around saying, oh, me, oh, my. Hey, We need to go out there, no matter how small we are, and say, look, you come at me with sword and spear, I'm coming in the power of his might. I'm coming in the spirit of the Lord. I'm coming with this, this little stone and this sling, but I'm coming in the name of the Lord. Amen. Well, if the church would just rise up once again, one will chase 1,000. Amen. God's on our side. We need to regain that confidence, that assurance. And if we only have it according to the way we feel emotionally, we'll never get it. We've got to look to the Word of God, and we've got to live the Christian life, and we can see the power in all of those things, and it'll move the cause of Jesus Christ forward. We can go forward. Let's march forward. Let's gain ground. Let's see lost souls saved. Let's see people's lives changed. Let's see these people that have backslidden or out there in the world that were once members of this church, let's see them restored. Amen? Yes. Yes. So as we sing, let's come in here and let's pray to that end. I mean, just ask God to give us what we need. Let's sing. And as we sing, listen, if you're visiting with us today, we're glad you were here. We hope you have a full assurance of faith. If you don't, we hope you get it. And it's a great thing to have. It's a great privilege as children of God. Come back. If you're visiting with us, come back tonight. I want to say this to the members. Come. Don't miss. You know, when I was growing up, my dad, he said, we couldn't watch TV during revival. We only had 3 channels, 4, 6, and 8. We couldn't watch even one of the 3 channels on TV when I was growing up. It was revival week. We prayed before we went to church. Every night, my mom and dad would get in there and they'd pray. We'd go in the living room. We only went in the living room to pray. You couldn't sit in there, but you'd go in there and pray. Some of you guys, older people, know about those living rooms. The only thing we did in there was pray. And the preacher, he's the only one who could sit in there. But we prayed before we went to church. Do you guys remember those days? Yeah. You know, and mama would sing during the day. It was a time of getting closer to God. Now, all of us are here in our walk with the Lord. At the end of this revival, let's be here. Okay? Let's step it up a notch. Step it up a notch. I mean, be up here with our zeal and our service to the Lord, in our spirituality and in our walk with God. Let's ask God to give that to us. Amen? That's what we prayed Wednesday night, that we would step it up, that God would raise us up higher. I want to be a better preacher. I want to be a better teacher. I want to be a better Christian. And I want to be a better servant, a better church member. And revival sometimes will bring that kind of renewal and zeal into our lives. And so don't miss. Be here. Bring somebody. That's another thing I was going to point out. Bring somebody with you. You know, bring your family. I'll tell you what, if we need to, we'll have a family night. You can call all your family and say, look, we're having family night at church. I want my family there. I want my kids there. I want my... You know, just ask them. When's the last time you asked them to church? Some of the members of your family. You know, ask them. Say, look, I want you to come that night. This is family night. Need you to be here. Neighbor's night. We talked about that a little bit Wednesday night. They're, you know, when's the last time you invited your neighbor to church? Tell them you're in revival. Many of our neighbors go to other churches. They won't come on Sunday morning, but they'll come during revival. Say, I want you to come. Friends, we need to maybe have friends night. You know, one of the greatest joys of my life was seeing my best friend saved. If you've never experienced that, my goodness, it will fire you up. I mean, it will. It really will. And so we have friends that need to be saved. Let's do all that we need to do and all we could do for the cause of Jesus Christ. As we sing, let's come in and close the service with prayer.
Brother David Douglas, would you lead us as we pray?